Father, as we come to you today, so grateful, so thankful for the chance to be here today. Father, as we come to you, we ask that you would bless us. Father, may we be a more grateful person after we leave here today, Father, as we understand how important it is that we understand and thank you for all your blessings for us, Father. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
You know, I was thinking about just over the last few weeks how grateful as people we should be. I mean, we just had a homecoming about 3 weeks ago and celebrated 58 years as a church. This week, we're going to go to the fair because somebody has provided ways for us to go do that, and we're able to do that. We are coming up on the greatest time of the year when you start thinking about Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's, all this stuff coming up. And I'm thinking, are we grateful people? Do we appreciate what we have? You know, we kind of look at the political situation right now, and it seems so dim.
Amen.
You know? But, you know, we need to understand how lucky we are. You know, we need to be people who express our gratitude. When you're a kid, when you're raising kids, somebody gives them something, you go to that little kid and say, okay, what do you say? What are they supposed to say?
Thank you.
We expect children to do that, don't we?
Amen.
Don't we expect our children, and raising 5 children in a house, you know, that was just something that was expected to happen.
Amen.
And I know that's what you expect from your children.
Amen.
So why as adults are we not doing that?
Amen.
Why is it that, I mean, we all appreciate children telling us thank you when we give them something, and we appreciate when we do something for somebody, we appreciate them thanking us for it. That's not why we do it.
Mm-hmm.
But we appreciate the fact that they appreciate us. We all want to be appreciated. We all want to know that when we do something for somebody, they have acknowledged it anyway. As we're coming to this time of the year, I think we need to focus on how do we thank our Heavenly Father.
Amen.
We know that we're not doing so good with each other. And my wife will tell you, I'm probably one of the worst of just saying thank you. And that shouldn't be from a pastor. Shouldn't be from a pastor telling you, admitting to you up here, that sometimes I just forget to say thank you.
Yep.
But we should never do that to God.
Amen.
God has done so much for us. Has blessed us so much.
Yes. Amen.
And yet, we thank Him so little.
So little.
If you're going to talk about appreciating God, I can't think of a better story than what's in our scripture verse today. It's a story I know y'all have all heard. But pretend this is the first time you've heard this story. It's in Luke, the 17th chapter. I'm going to going to start reading in verse 11. And on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along with the Samaritans in the Galilee, and as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voice, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on me." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourself to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he had saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Yep. And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." One scripture says your faith has saved you. This story begins with Jesus coming into the city of Galilee, and understand that these lepers had heard that Jesus was coming. And it says in the scriptures they stood afar away because they didn't have any choice. Mm-hmm. They weren't allowed to come close to people. Mm-hmm. They weren't allowed to mingle with other people. Don't ever think for a moment that death is the worst thing that can happen to you. Don't think that. I have seen cases where death was a blessing. Think about these men that were there. These men would eat and travel. They talked together. I'm sure they had expectations, dreams, just like any of us do. Yet they had this tragic sense of being already dead. Mm-hmm. They were like the walking dead. Leprosy was the dreaded of all of the diseases back then. It was a horrible, it caused sores all over you. It took away your energy, your strength. It made the sores would maim your hands and your feet and your other parts of the body. Mm-hmm. And it was so much worse because they believed that leprosy was contagious. We know now that it isn't. Mm-hmm. But you couldn't tell them back then. Mm-hmm. If you were a leper, you were not allowed to get within 50 yards of somebody that they would say called clean. Mm-hmm. Everywhere you went, people would holler, "Unclean leper." There were people actually throw stones at them to keep them away. Mm. Leprosy was a serious public health issue, but it was more than that. People with leprosy were looked upon as being punished by God. This wasn't just a physical ailment. This was a moral problem that they were facing. They were not only having to deal with their physical handicap, they had to deal with this unmentionable loneliness they had to feel, right? Mm-hmm. But even in the midst of this horrible, horrible disease, in this horrible situation, the lepers had something to be hopeful for. they still were thankful for something. How do we know they had hope? Well, what did they do when Jesus came? If they knew there was no hope, they wouldn't have bothered to cry out to Jesus. What were they thankful for? They were thankful for at least there were other people like them. They could be together. They could mingle with other people. But these people in this common misery could be together. They weren't so isolated that they were turned away by everybody, just those that didn't have leprosy. And get this. This story, these people were Jews. Except one. There was a Samaritan in there with these Jews. Understand the way it was back then. The Jews didn't do anything with the Samaritans. They were the dogs, the half-breeds. They weren't worth anything. No good Jew would associate with a Samaritan. But here in this community, this group of men, and I'm assuming women too, with this leprosy, they didn't think about being a Jew or a Samaritan. They were had all the same, they just bonded together. They didn't care what the other nationality was. I know that there is power in fellowship with people of the common need. This church began because we wanted to have a place where people with disabilities could come and worship. Remember, it's a lot better now than it was 58 years ago when it started. People with disabilities were isolated more than they are now. They were kind of pushed out of the way a little bit. They weren't thought of as being whole. There's power in the fellowship of people with this common need. And they were thankful for that community that they had. Which brings me to the first point of this message. No matter what your situation is, no matter what your circumstances is, even in the midst of whatever problem you have, there is always something to be thankful for.
Amen.
You can say, but Pastor David, you don't know my situation. You don't know what I'm going through. And you know what? We're a small church. I know a lot of you are going through. I know what sadness you have. I know some of the how you've lost loved ones, how you struggle to even get up every day. You're in a nursing home that you don't want to be in. You have to be helped by people that you would rather be able to do it yourself. But let me promise you this. There's not a person in this auditorium right now that had it worse than these 10 people. Nobody here struggled with what they're having to struggle with back then. As bad as your situation is, there is something you can be thankful for.
Amen. That's true.
But we can't stop there. And that's where maybe I fall short. Maybe you fall short. We can't just stop and find reasons to be grateful. We need to express that gratitude.
Amen.
We need to say it out loud. We need to show it to other people. It's important. Here in the midst of this special holiday of Thanksgiving. We need to start being thankful before Thanksgiving gets here.
Every day.
It's so sad when we look at this story. Jesus comes into this village. These men cry out to him, "Jesus, have mercy on us." And then Jesus says something that seems confusing. He says, "Go and show yourself to the priest." Now, understand, you need to understand the history of this. That seems weird to tell them to do, but the priests were also the public health officers back in those times. And if you had some kind of disease, in order for you to be cleared and to be able where you could go out in public, you had to have a health certificate showing that you no longer had that disease. Mm-hmm. And it had to come from the priest. No doubt these lepers were probably puzzled by what Jesus said. I mean, to say the least, it was premature. I mean, he's telling them, go show yourself to these health officials while they still had leprosy. But they did what Jesus told them to do. They obeyed what Jesus said. And I can't explain what happened next. But the fact is, these 10 lepers, as they were traveling to the priest, their numbness began to go away. The sores began to heal. They began to have new strength in their lungs and breathing better. It says here, Luke just simply says, and it came to pass as they went, they were healed. They obeyed what Christ had told them to do, and they were healed. Pretend this is the first time you've heard this story. We could write the end of this story. We would write this story that once these men saw that they were healed, they would run to Jesus, crying out to Jesus, "Master, Savior." Mm-hmm. You know what that would happen? Nine out of these 10 men were never heard from again. Nine out of 10 took what Jesus had to offer them and never took a minute to think. What a pitiful revelation of human nature. Surely that's not the way it is today. Really?
No.
I read in an article that there are more people today that will go to bed hungry than there were people in the world 100 years ago. And yet, on this Thanksgiving holiday, 90% of the people will not bow their head and thank God for what they received. Are we the 90? Have we changed that much? We'd like to think we have, but have we really? But in this story, one returned. One came back, and he did just what we thought the 10 would do. He praised God with a loud voice. What an ending. You know, if you look at this story, you would look at the percentages and see how sorry mankind is that 90% of the people never express their gratitude. Or you could look at the one and say how much he did should inspire us. That should encourage us to be the one. It should make us want to be that one.
Yeah.
You know, then just as an afterthought in this story, there's something else thrown in the end here. The one that came back wasn't a Jew. The one that came back was a Samaritan. The one, the Gentile, the one that was considered unclean, the one that was a half-breed, the outcast, he was the only one whose heart really was turned toward God. The only one. He expressed his gratitude to Jesus. Listen, get this. Jesus wasn't upset because the nine didn't come back to thank him. How many read about Jesus' miracles? Most of the time when Jesus does a miracle, he said, "I don't want to tell anybody." It's not about him. It's about pointing towards God. It's about thanking God. And these men didn't do that. Only one came back to thank Jesus for what God had done for him. And Jesus said, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has saved you."
Mm-hmm.
Listen, all ten of them were cured from leprosy. But only one was free in their soul and in their spirit. Only one was really saved. It's one thing to be saved physically. It's a whole other to have your soul saved. These men were released from the bondage of leprosy, but they still were bound to the bondage of ingratitude. They still did not get what God had done for them. I guess they were just so excited about what happened, but that's no excuse. It's no excuse for you and I. When God does something for us, we can't overlook it. We can't take it for granted. We can't just accept it. We have to thank Him for it.
Amen.
Listen, the Apostle Paul wrote this. Listen to this. "Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in everything, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you." It is the will of God for us to be grateful people. It's the will of God for us to express our gratitude. It is the will of God for us to appreciate what God has done for us. It's so important. It's so important we teach our children that it's important for them to be. It's important for us. Let me give you something. This is just my opinion, but I'm going to give it to you as adults, as grown-ups. We shouldn't have to have somebody tell us, "What do you say now?
Amen.
What do you need to go do now?" We should be so moved in our spirit because someone has done something for us that we can't help ourselves but go and thank somebody for what they have done for us. Not because this person actually wants that. It's for you, not for them. It's for you to express this gratitude. It's for you to trust God. It's for you to do the will of God.
Amen.
It's for your benefit.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there are many of us here today that have long overdue in expressing our gratitude to God. We say a little prayer at the meals. Maybe when we come here in church, we pray. But that's the only time you're praying. You're not thanking God. You're trying to appease God by nodding His way. God doesn't want you to nod His way. He wants you to worship Him.
Amen.
He wants you to adore Him. Mm-hmm. He wants you to fellowship with Him. He wants you to be so important to Him that He's the most important thing in your life. Chris talked about how Peter was walking on the water. Man, that's a miracle, isn't it? For somebody to walk on the water. Somebody walked on water. Peter did. Because Jesus told him to. Jesus is going to have you do great things. You can do great things if you just follow the lead of what Christ is asking you to do. If you just focus on Him. And if you will do the will of God and thank God for what you have. As we come to this time, we need to be thanking God. That's for all of us. We need to thank God. We need to be more like this woman who our life has been changed. Get this. Our life has been changed. We may not have had leprosy. We may not have been totally devastated and maimed in some way. Some of us are in wheelchairs. Some of us are blind. Some of us are crippled. Some of us have mental problems. We all have some situation. But that doesn't mean God doesn't love us. That doesn't mean God doesn't care about us. He still needs to be praised and thanked. And ask God for what you want to thank God for what He has done for you. Not what hasn't been done. Thank God for what He has done for you. Because He is good. He is blessing you with Arbella every Sunday when she taught lessons. Her opening prayer every time, Lord, thank you for waking me up in my right mind.
Amen.
What a blessing that is. I see that now when Priscilla's dad is. I saw it in my dad. You've probably seen it in some of others. They are no longer the person that they once were. They no longer have the sharp mind and can think like they were. That's a blessing that you have here today. That's a blessing you have.
Thank you, Lord.
Start your day blessing God and continually through the day. Let's be grateful people. Let's be grateful to each other. Let's be grateful to God. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, Father, our heart is broken when we read this story. How these 10 men who were so desperate, who were struggling so much, when they were set free, they forgot about you, Father. Father, we don't want to forget about you ever. We don't want you to think that we don't appreciate we could never pay you back for what you've done for us. But Father, we can thank you till the day we die. And then Father, we're going to spend eternity with you.
Yeah.
Father, may we be a more grateful people, more grateful to each other, more grateful to you. And Father, may we just turn that gratitude and love and appreciation into making us a better person, because it will. It will make us a better person. We can get rid of some of the stress and anxiety in our life. We can get rid of some of the anger and depression in our life. We can get rid of some of the sadness and worry that we struggle with every day if we just start, Father, blessing you and thanking you for blessing us. Father, when we get our eyes off ourselves and get them on you, we can walk on water. Father, thank you for your words today. Thank you for this time together. Father, we thank you for this group of people here today. May they be blessed. May they feel blessed. And Father, may they express their appreciation for what you've done for them. In Jesus' name, I pray.
Amen. Amen.